God's trees. What a message title. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Amen.
Well, some of you are ready. Some of you are getting ready. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands on his eyes, and he made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. We have often commented on how amazing and how effective are the illustrations that are given to us in the Bible. You know, preachers, they search the internet and work long and hard trying to find a good illustration. Well, if you want a good illustration, look in the Bible. That's where the good illustrations are. One of the most impressive metaphors that teach us in earthly terms how that God sees us is this one of trees, especially trees walking. As this blind man is being healed by Jesus, he at first sees men as trees walking. What a strange thing for his partial vision to be described this way. Yet a number of places in Scripture tell us that this also describes those who know the Lord. God calls them righteous. Now, our text today is going to be Psalm chapter 1. It's really long, 6 whole verses. Blessed is the man, verse 1, that walketh. Now, trees doing what? Walking. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In and of ourselves, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. Yet the righteous are referred to over 225 times in the Holy Scriptures. These righteous are those who have been given God's own righteousness as a free gift, either by their faith in the Messiah that's going to come, as in the Old Testament saints, or as in our case, the Messiah, Jesus, who has come and has died for our sins. Psalm 1 and verse 3 says of the righteous that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The righteous, Psalm 92, verse number 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now that definitely describes some of us, doesn't it? If you're born again, you are now one of God's trees. You really are. And as such, God's instruction clearly is that you are to be planted in the house of God. We're going to be planting two new trees here in the house of God this very day.
Amen.
We've got two scheduled for planting at the end of the service coming up.
Amen.
Being planted in the congregation of the Lord, you're going to be exposed regularly to the water of the Word of God. And you're going to stand in the light of the Word of God on a regular basis. You are meant to be feasting on the nourishment that comes from God's Word. And you're going to come to love God's Word, and you're going to come to yearn to hear more and more of it. The closer you walk with the Lord and the longer you stay planted, the more you're going to love the nourishment that only comes from the light of God's Word. God's trees are meant to be planted in God's house always, even until old age. And even then, we'll continue to bear fruit and to prosper. When we think of prosperity, most first think of financial prosperity. And prosperity certainly includes that. It certainly includes money. Yet, as important as finances are to each of us, prosperity covers much, much more than just money and possessions. This term covers all good things. And where do all good things come from? James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now we know that life has its seasons. We know that we all have an appointment with death. We know that Christian life contains both blessing and suffering. It's got good and bad, and it's ups and downs, and it's just going to be trials sometimes. Now, you can believe this morning that God desires your prosperity in all areas of His blessing. Do you understand that? This is what He wants for you. 3 John, verse number 2, John writes this, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." If you're saved this morning, your spirit doth already prosper. Your soul has arrived. You indeed have it made. You really do. God's desire for you is just like John's wish for his beloved in Christ. Now, I believe God wants us to understand what it is supposed to be like, what it's actually normal for one of God's trees. Psalm 1:3 says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I don't know if you get very excited about hearing a promise like that from God or not, but I get pretty excited when I hear those promises and I read them in God's Word. I want you to understand, God's trees are meant for a life of flourishing prosperity. Do you understand that? You say, this is starting to sound like a feel-good sermon. Well, it ought to leave you feeling good after reading what God just promised you. But prosperity and the flourishing does not come quickly. It takes time to get from being planted all the way to flourishing prosperity. There's a lot to learn in that time. Much of it cannot be learned quickly. Some things require experience. You'll read that here in Romans chapter number 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. What is patience? Patience is waiting. Patience is enduring, going through it, getting through to the other side. Experience is the only way that this comes. There's certain things that only come by experience. Wisdom, by the way, only comes through experience. Dealing with the troubles of life according to God's plan. Patiently waiting for the outcome. And then the experience of seeing God handle those problems according to His promises, it doesn't take place quickly. You have to go through it to be able to understand what that's like. The enduring of all this produces something the Bible calls hope. This term hope is a confident expectation in God doing what he promises that he will do. Sometimes a situation will look absolutely hopeless, but not if you're trusting God to handle it.
Amen.
This confidence comes only through patience, but let me tell you something, it's worth the wait. To get to see God step in and do only what no one else can do but him, it's worth the wait. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, John writes, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not." That's that point where you're right with the Lord, your sin is confessed, you're planted in God's house, you're stable, you're rooted and grounded in love and in truth. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask. By the way, this verse I'm about to read, memorize this thing and don't ever forget this. You know, sometimes Christians do the dumbest stuff. You'll need prayer, you'll be praying, you'll be searching for God to give you an answer, and it's the most important thing you're ever faced in your life sometimes. And then you'll go do dumb stuff that displeases God and basically throw it in the trash. Read this verse, memorize it, and don't ever forget it. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." There's a reason God answers our prayers and says yes. There's much to learn, and it takes time. You're going to have to discover your purpose and then give yourself to it once you figure out what it is. You must learn to see yourself as a servant. You know, that's what we are, all of us. We're either good ones or bad ones or somewhere in the middle, but we're all servants, every last one of us. We must learn the principles of stewardship. None of the things that God gives us belongs to us. We are not owners. We are managers of what God has and puts in our charge. 1 Corinthians 4, first two verses. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Stewardship is properly handling what God has placed in your care, whatever that is. Whether it's a talent, whether it's physical resources, might be money, might be property, all kinds of things. Men will spend years in college and universities and thousands of dollars in debt for a degree that will allow them to prosper. Happens all the time. Some of you are either at one end or the other or in the middle of that somewhere. Yet true prosperity can be gained only through the principles that are contained in God's Word. Doesn't come any other way. The world might teach you how to make money, but they're not going to teach you how to have the health and the right principles of integrity and honesty to properly use it. To get that degree is a good thing. But do not do it at the neglect of the education that really matters, and that's the one that comes from the Word of God. And don't be discouraged. Sometimes Christians get pretty discouraged. Life is in the journey. It's not in having arrived at some plateau where everything's going to be hunky-dory now that I have finally arrived. That's not where life is. Life is in the process. The joy of living is in the process. Trouble comes. It may be emotional, financial, things breaking, physical health, some trying to pay the bills, the will of others sometimes being forced on us like the government's trying to do all the time. It's always something going wrong. There's always a trouble of some kind that we're facing. You go through this, you try this, and you try that, and you make lots of wrong choices. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes you get it right. Imagine that. Sometimes you get it right, and when you do, you grow a little bit. And when you do, you get a little bit wiser. And that wisdom that you gain is yours, and nobody can take it from you. God's promises of prosperity are real, but real prosperity does not come quickly. But to the righteous, who both learn and obey, prosperity does come. It does come. When financial prosperity finally comes, it's really great. It really is. But that part is not what we're going to remember the most. It's not what's going to mean the most to us. Today, I basically want for nothing. I live in a beautiful house. I drive a nice truck. I wear nice clothes. Our pantry is always full. And I get to win people to Jesus for a living. I'm pretty much set. Just the other day, I heard my beloved say, "We really have a nice life," and we do. One of the memories that I cherish the most was it finally getting all that cool stuff. Well, all of God's blessings are great, but the greatest moments of my life have been at my lowest levels, where I couldn't do anything about anything, where I was desperate. And then I saw God come in and keep his word and do what only he can do.
Amen.
Those are the highlights. Those are the things that I remember the most. And I could spend a lot of time telling you stories about all that, but at the risk of boring you, I'll go on with other things. But I'm here to tell you that some of the things that God has stepped in and done at some of the lowest points that you could ever imagine somebody be in, they're unforgettable. They're amazing. As we go through our trials and as we live our lives and we grow and hopefully get a little wiser as we grow, we discover that fruit comes in its season. We are like a tree. We really are. We're God's trees, and there's so much about trees that reflects our very life. It's amazing. Psalm 1 and 3 says, "That bringeth forth fruit in his season." What is this fruit that we're talking about? The fruit is the purpose of the tree, is it not? What's a tree for? A tree has value for just a few things. It has value sometimes for fuel. You know, there's firewood or lumber. You're going to need some trees to build that house that's coming up. Sometimes a tree is for beauty. And other times a tree, the purpose is for fruit. What kind of trees are we? We're fruit trees. That's what kind of trees we are. God's trees are fruit trees. The beauty part's kind of obvious that we don't. It's for fruit. That's what it's for. Let me read it to you. John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." What is the fruit? It's whatever the tree produces. That's the fruit. Whatever it produces. Now remember, fruit comes when? In its season. In its season. And seasons do something that you better get used to. Seasons change. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." The verse says his fruit and his season. There are many kinds of fruit. Believers getting saved is fruit. That's the fruit that remains that Jesus is talking about here. I guess that's why I get so excited about believers getting saved. I can work hard and do this and do that and give my life to all kinds of different purpose subjects, that sort of thing. And sometimes it'll just fall apart and just be all for nothing. But I'm here to tell you one thing. When I get to see somebody put their trust in Jesus, and nobody's going to take that away. Nobody can take that. Not from them or from me. I'm going to see that person 10,000 years from today.
Amen.
In heaven. Because that's the kind of fruit that remains. There's lots of kinds of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. There's other kinds of fruit. Your paycheck is the fruit of your labor. Your friends and your kids and those who love you are the fruit of your love. There's some things that have to happen for you to see the fruit. For one thing, the tree has to stay planted if you're ever going to see the fruit. Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen.
We got to look to the Lord for our leadership. Don't be looking around at each other. You'll get discouraged. No two trees grow or produce fruit alike or at the same rate. Every tree is a little different from every other tree. Not all trees stay planted. Sometimes God's trees get uprooted by storms that come along in their life. Or in the case of many Christians, just because of bad choices, trees, God's trees, get uprooted out of the house of God. So not all trees are going to bring forth their fruit because they got displaced before the season came. Galatians 6, 9 is good advice. Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not all trees are going to bring forth their fruit, but for those that do, for those that stay planted, those that keep getting nourished, those that bask in the light of God's word, God has a promise for those trees that stay put. He says, for one, his leaf shall not wither. You realize that goes against all science? The structures within a leaf convert the energy into sunlight and into chemical energy that the plant can use for food. Chlorophyll, it's the molecule, it's called in leaves, that uses the energy in sunlight to turn water and carbon dioxide gas into sugar and oxygen. This process is called, some of you nerds, what is it called? Photosynthesis. Yeah, there you go. Now, in normal trees, the leaves grow to fullness. They do their job of nourishing the tree by converting the light energy to sugar and oxygen. And then what do? And then they wither and they die. And then you rake the yard. Or you just let it go and mow over it anyway. Whichever way you do it. And then in their next growing season, after lying dormant for a while, they do it again. God has built in a mechanism into the believer that's kind of like this as well. He has put something in us that enables us to convert the light of God's word into that which sustains and nourishes us. Some of you have been saved long enough to know how that works. What the leaf does for the tree, the power of God's word does for the believer. With one big exception. For us, as long as we stay planted and are nourished in God's word, our leaf does not wither.
Come on now.
It doesn't go away. What a miracle. And when the leaf does not wither, there's a conclusion. You want me to read it to you? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
Now, I can't make you a promise like that and back it up. But God just did, and he can back it up. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That word whatsoever, you know what that word's talking about? That word speaks of choices. Choices. Although God knows what your life will be, God does not have a specific one and only plan for your life. Many think that he does, but you didn't get that from the Bible. You know, there's a lot of things that God won't choose for you. You know, people say, well, I'm going to pray about what God wants me to give. God commanded that you choose what you're going to give. Remember? There's things that God says that you're supposed to choose it. There are hundreds of great things you could do with your life. Hundreds of them. And you get to choose. You get to pick. You get to decide. And it is by our choices that we bring glory to our God. Through those choices. God tells us in Psalm 37 that he wants to give us the desires of our heart. You know what that means, if you add all that up? It means that you should choose something wonderful and then get after it. Because God's going to be in it. The next thing that comes, whatsoever he what? Doeth. Now there are doers and then there are everybody else. You got to be a doer, not just a, well, whatever the opposite of that actually is. This speaks to the fact that you actually need to do something. Maybe besides video games. Who knows? Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Remember David dancing before the Lord? Mishael didn't like it much. How did he do it? He said he danced with all his might. Now, I'm no dancer, but there are some things I do with all my might. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Ecclesiastes 5. Here's what Solomon wrote. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. So go do something. If it doesn't work out, go do something else. But don't just sit around wringing your hands and waiting on God to do it for you. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to get out there and make a mistake. Do something wrong rather than do nothing at all. At least you can get some guidance from that point. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. What's a co-laborer? A worker together with someone else. It means God wants to work with you, not just do it for you. Now I realize God saved you, and he did it all by himself. He did it for you. And so maybe we think we got a little spoiled by that and think that God wants to do everything else for us. No. Salvation he did for you. Everything else he wants to do with you. Make sense? That's what it says. Now I like this next part. Whatsoever... That's choices. He doeth. That's go do something. And then the result, the conclusion, that cool part at the end, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I'll guarantee you what, when you graduate college, Tyler, when you graduate school, they're not going to be able to guarantee you that what you go do after that, you're going to prosper. But God can. Get you an education, but get the education that matters from the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Try to remember that. Remember Elisha and the widow woman of 2 Kings chapter 4? She said, all we have is this one pot of oil. Elisha said, go borrow vessels, not a few. Well, she could have thought, okay, a few is what? What do you think a few is? Two or three? Yeah, two or three. Okay, so I'll borrow six just in case. No. It doesn't say how much you borrowed. But if you've read the story, I think you'll probably agree with me. I believe that she borrowed every empty vessel in that whole town. I'll guarantee you she did. You have the same kind of promise for God that she had. Read it. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe that we ought to dream big. I really do. Does that mean, Pastor, you're dreaming about having a mega church? And no, maybe one time. But no, there are bigger things than a mega church. There's a little church filled with nothing but saved people. You try to find something bigger than that and measure it by the Word of God and see what you come up with. But I do believe we ought to dream big. As long as it's good, as long as it's honest and it's right, God is going to bless it. So go for all the vessels you can get. Why just go a little ways and think that that's only what God's interested in for you? We already know that for the righteous, God wants you to have, he wants to give you the desire of your heart. We'll wrap this up today by just pointing out that God has an incredible journey for every one of his walking trees. Every one of his children. God has an incredible journey for us all. He also has the good news of prosperity for every one of his children. He does. We didn't spend very much time on the first three verses of our text today. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Some of you have backed away from doing that. You're not listening to the stupid lost world like you were at one time. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. You're not hanging out with and doing the things that people are doing that you don't have no business hanging with. And you're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're not sitting on your couch playing armchair quarterback, judging everybody else and what they're doing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Today, that's God's word. And in his law, he doth meditate day and night. Some of you think about what God says a lot during the day. Didn't used to be like that, but it's that way now. And if that's you, that's the person that he says is going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season, his leaf's not going to wither, and everything that he does, whatsoever he does, is going to prosper. These are the areas that inhibit the growth of God's trees. Failure in these are, they force God to withhold the prosperity that is already yours. We read it in Ecclesiastes. It's the portion. It already belongs to you. But just like you parents have to withhold things from your children that they're not ready for yet. She's not ready to date yet. He's not ready to drive a 400 horsepower automobile yet. There's all kinds of things that parents have to hold their children back from and can't give them yet because it would hurt them. It's not good for them. Areas is what causes God to turn the tap off or just let it drip enough to sustain us instead of pouring out the portion that he has already provided for us. And no, you're not going to be able to get that learned and have it down quickly. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some experience. You're going to have to be patient. But it's going to be worth the wait. I know that the desire of the Lord is exactly what the Apostle John expressed in 3 John 2. This is my heart for you. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. It's one thing to prosper. It's another thing to be healthy enough to enjoy it.
Amen.
Even as thy soul prospereth. And that's a lot. If you're saved, your soul is rich in every aspect. So go fall in love with God's Word. Start learning the rules and the principles and go out there and do something that will bring great glory to the one that died for you. The more that you can accomplish and the greater that you prosper and still be able to give glory to God for all of it, the greater His glory is going to shine. You see why God wants this for you? Truth is, it might even be a little bit selfish on God's part. I'll probably be struck by lightning for saying that. But He is interested in His glory. And if you don't know that, you need to read why He created us for His glory. Prosperity of every kind has one grand purpose. And that it is to be used to bring God glory. Can you do that?
Amen.
Will you do that? All right, trees. It's time to start walking. I see men as trees walking. What a strange thing for a blind man to say. He wasn't blind long, was he? No. He was seeing really clearly, pretty quick. Some ugly trees bear some mighty beautiful fruit sometimes. Amen? Let's all stand.